Good morning. Today is Friday, the 4th of December. Joining us this morning, the old-fashioned, not old-fashioned, but the way we used to do it a little bit earlier, Miles Slattery. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I am, I don't know, I'm here, and you're in your office, so you tell me.
Yeah, it's, you know, been a rough couple of weeks. With all these changes going on, that's for sure.
Yes, and we'll talk about that as soon as Winston lets us know why we say something.
I know baseball season's over, but this one's interesting. Where does the word umpire come from?
Umpire. No idea.
I'm going for some sort of officiant at, I don't know, in the Roman times.
It comes from the old French word meaning not paired. The umpire is the third or not paired person called upon to decide between two contestants.
Oh. Okay. Doesn't say unaffiliated, though, huh? Oh, geez. Interesting. So, I guess, Miles, the first thing, congratulations on no longer having the I word.
Thank you.
Was that something a surprise? I mean, getting a 5-0 is something I cannot recall in the 35 years of this program of anybody getting a 5-0. How'd you pull that one off?
Well, I mean, most of the times when it's done through the selection process, I don't even know if it's really announced, so this was a little bit awkward, but it was surprising to me. You know, from the beginning, I always had intended to make this permanent and, you know, lose the interim tag. But, you know, it was surprising. It wasn't as surprising as most people, you know, made it out to be because, you know, Councilmember Allison had, you know, requested a review of the contract 2 meetings prior to that. And then because it was a personnel issue, it was brought to council during closed session.
Right.
And so it wasn't, you know, obviously a lot of people don't pay attention to the specifics of our agendas, but, you know, it lasted, you know, over a month, you know, kind of leading up to it. But no, I was stoked and am stoked and, you know, plan to continue doing what we're doing and continue the trajectory of the city, that's for sure.
Well, hopefully we can kind of elevate the horizon here a little bit, bud, based on some of the information shared earlier or throughout this week, huh? Gosh, talk about taking the wind out of the sails.
It's been tough. You know, we had to make some serious changes here at City Hall and our overall city operations. We've gone solely to Zoom or call-in meetings, even in the building meetings. We're down to bare staff. You drove by City Hall right now, you may see 2 cars in the parking lot. Probably going to have a total of about 5 staff to 6 staff in the entire City Hall and kind of rotate. And, you know, because of what happened previously, we were prepared for this. We have, you know, all the equipment necessary to have people work from home. So we're making sure that, you know, whoever can work from home is working from home. And whatever we need at City Hall to still provide those services is still here. This time we actually went to the extent of having our water billing be done by appointment only. Prior to this, it was, you know, people coming in and paying their bills. So it's going to be some adjustments, and hopefully it doesn't last too long.
Boy, too bad Howard and Lee from the Taxpayers League from a couple decades ago weren't around. They'd think that they had hit the jackpot.
Well, considering Measure H, I don't know about that. It would have been a tie.
Oh, gee. So what are the functional changes? Are the parks going to be open? Is the zoo open? Is anything available other than wandering out and on the beach by yourself?
So, you know, it just happened yesterday. I do know that, you know, retail is going to, you know, stay open, I believe, at a 20% capacity. As far as the parks, I haven't gotten into the specifics of that. When we went to Purple, playgrounds were still open and the zoo was still open. I haven't had a chance to look into the smoke on the water level that we're going to be at later. And so we'll have to look into that.
Right.
I would I would assume that the outdoor... God, I don't get any love for the smoke on the water comment there, the Deep Purple.
Oh, no, no, I got it. I was just in junior high school at the time, so I, you know, I was too young to truly appreciate it.
But yeah, so we'll look into that. I haven't heard anything from our zoo staff that that's changed, but, you know, it just happened yesterday, so we'll have to look into it more. The playgrounds did stay open. The zoo stayed open. I think we're hoping for the zoo that we may, you know, obviously still keep it open, but go back to the appointment basis. But we'll need to look into it more.
The area I think that's most concerning for a majority of folks are like the restaurants. You know, they took a pounding and a beating, and then they've adapted and were able to keep things, some of them were able to keep things rolling. Staffing certainly was a lot less, and now they get thumped on yet again. Pickup only? I mean, holy Toledo. Yeah, do you have any thoughts or any remedies, any advisement for these folks?
Yeah, we definitely do. We recognized that previously. So what we did, you know, during the time when they were outdoor only is we set up the grant program with the CARES Act money that we received, and made that totally available to our restaurants for creating outdoor environments. They could get up to $7,500 to create outdoor environments, and then another $2,500 or $5,000, I believe, for getting outdoor equipment to accommodate. So what we're thinking of now, and we're probably going to go to council with an idea for some expansion of that, and, you know, we also use some of that CARES Act money for our residents to help with back rent that was due because of loss of employment, as well as utilities assistance. So what staff is thinking about is something similar to that for our restaurants and retail. If retail goes to that level, but we're contemplating that. We're going to be bringing something to council for that, whether it's through, you know, our money from the, excuse me, our audit of last year's fiscal year came back better than we thought. So there's a potential to go to council to see if that money realized could go into a program like that.
Okay. We'll continue with that thought when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Miles Slattery. Bet you that sounds weird, huh?
Sounds better than interim.
Yeah, that understood. It doesn't take quite as much energy. Oh, so with the challenges, Miles, that are going on, spend a little bit of time digging at the county website yesterday, and there's been 45,000 tests and 1,000 positive, and 89 folks having to spend time under medical care. Those numbers, I would think, in any kind of another scenario, would be seen as healthy and doing very well, and thank you very much, and Godspeed, and carry on. And here now, those numbers are putting shackles and handcuffs on normalcy, on business, on people, and certainly on our mental perspective of things. What is the League of California Cities saying? What is staff indicating? I mean, it doesn't seem like the numbers add up.
Yeah, well, we've been encouraging our staff and, you know, the general public to go out and get as many tests as possible. You know, a lot of these, we have had a lot of uptick in cases in the overall scheme. Maybe the numbers don't seem that bad, but there has been a big increase. We were encouraging a lot of our staff and the community to go out and get tested, whether they were a part of contact tracing or whether they felt they had symptoms or whatever, just so that those negative numbers could kind of help out with whatever stage we're in. Unfortunately, now we've been, you know, the state has put us into, basically globbed us in with the rest of the Northern California. And because of that, even though our numbers aren't as bad as adjacent counties or, you know, counties in the north area of the state, we're being glommed into that. So once we get, I believe it's to 85% capacity of our ICU, which we're not at, but other areas are at or above that, the overall numbers kick us into that deep purple stage. And so even though the county has certain numbers, we're being regulated by the state, which, you know, is difficult to do for them because to make a regulation for each particular one is difficult. It's very similar to some of our other regulations, whether it's stormwater or those regulations where they just put a blanket over the entire state, regardless of how different we are.
Well, it seems, I guess it's simpler for the state folks, but it's kind of like what Billy Hansel was talking about earlier. You know, why are we being punished for the neighbors? You know, if our guys are doing well, we should be doing well. And as agents of the state through the Constitution, just tell us what, you know, what the standards are and we'll manage appropriately.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that you're talking about not necessarily the League of California Cities because they deal with municipalities, but I forget the county organization because these are, you know, the state telling our county representatives, our public health officers, you know, that this is what's going on.
Right, and CSAC does do that, but
CSAC
for the
but
for the cities, you know, I would think you guys and gals have got responsibilities also that are kind of hinged and linked to this stuff.
Totally true, but we don't have a public health officer. If we did, then maybe we'd have some way of controlling, but we'd have to go by what our public health officer says.
Right. Now, with the change there, are you in consultation with them? I mean, as being the big dog right now, I would think that at least there would be some opportunity to have discussion.
Yeah, we definitely do. You know, our public, you know, we're in constant contact with Humble Bay Fire. You know, we have representatives from EPD speaking with the public health officer, as well as Brian Gerving, kind of our public works director, deals with a lot of our issues associated with the pandemic. So we are in constant contact with them. You know, what kind of control we have, because we don't really have a public health officer, I don't know how far that goes. But we definitely do what we can. I think that, you know, we're going to be at council on the 15th and going to be requesting that, you know, we can make some monies available for our businesses to help them out through this time. You know, I believe it's a 3-week period. So, you know, helping them out for a month or two, we're hoping that the situation changes and we can get back to it at least more capacity and at least have, you know, certain capacity of indoor dining at the restaurants.
That to me is I suppose the most challenging, you know, if you're a Southern California restaurant, okay. If you're in Alturas or Mount Shasta, I mean, outdoor, no, it just can't. But to treat everybody the same, I suppose that's the challenge. Have you had an opportunity yet to talk with either the state assemblyman or the state senator to chew on their ear a little bit in defending some of the local establishments?
We haven't. We've been a part of letters that have been going out to them through the league. You know, I don't speak with them directly, but we've been a part and supportive of letters that go out through the League of City. And for us, it's with a lot of things. I mean, we have a big issue right now is our CRV. It's being compounded with our businesses that sell CRV right now because HWMA has been in a tussle with the state to allow us to set up a pilot CRV program that, you know, that we can deal with the pandemic and make it, you know, available to people for CRV. And it didn't work out, and we went round and round with them, with our local representatives, as well as with CalRecycle. We lost out. Now our businesses that are selling CRV are being threatened with $100 day fines if they don't redeem CRV. So that's another big issue that we've been talking with.
I can even speak to that when we come back. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery from the City of Eureka. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Miles, what's the status with those apartment developments that you were talking about last month? It seems as if that those would be the things that could really kind of keep folks rolling and kind of keep maybe a positive perspective about what's going on right now out there.
So it's Link is a developer that we awarded the contract to. They had a public meeting, God, I think it was 2 weeks ago, had discussions about some of the concerns that the neighbors are bringing up and possibilities for parking and took questions. So that's moving forward. It's going to be 107 units at three different locations of 2 to 3 bedroom places for very low and low income folks. So I believe 23, 24 is when we're planning on that to be in place. So it's a pretty aggressive timeline, but we're going to be having some more public meetings and then start working out some of the improvements. We've met with them, with city staff, to try and look at some improvements, not only for parking, but also for, non-motorized alternatives for transportation, working with HTA.
Wait a minute. Non-motorized, does that mean you're bringing back skateboards like Arcata was looking at?
No, but also mass transit, so bus stop relocation possibilities, increased crosswalks. They're looking into maybe helping us with the Beta Zoo Trail. There's a bunch of different options on the table.
So it's more comprehensive than just the structures themselves?
Definitely, yeah. That's a lot of the concerns of the neighbors we're trying to address and also, help out with some improvements with the city as a part of the development.
Best case scenario, when does a shovel get stuck in the dirt?
23, 24. I would say best case scenarios, dry season 2022.
Okay, so a year from this coming building season.
Yes.
Okay, would that be on all three, or would they start with one, complete it?
We haven't got to there, but I would assume that they would do them at a minimum consecutively. I don't know if they'd break ground in all three. We haven't gotten that deep into it. I don't know what their plan would be. I mean, that would be a lot of work for. I mean, there's two of them are four stories, one of them six stories. So I don't know if we'd have the capacity to do all three at once. But
well, I think a lot of work equals a lot of employment, which would would be something nice to focus on right now. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
The developments on Broadway. How is the I guess we call it the restaurant, Francis Carrington's Restaurant Plaza. Is that working out the way that you were hoping?
It is. We haven't gotten, the full numbers, back yet, and they're confidential either way, though. But obviously, by driving by there, it definitely seems to be doing very well.
So the city will be reimbursed for the stoplights?
It's too early to say now, but I'll have to defer to our director of finance. I don't know how much I can say.
Okay.
So,
but you're feeling pretty good about it.
Yes.
Yeah. See, you can give indications without giving away everything. And there's the new Kentucky Fried building that's being worked on also with Pacific Builders. Is that pacing along on the time schedule that you guys had been given?
Yeah, definitely. It's doing well, and believe me, my son is asking me daily when that's going to open. we've been told sometime it should happen in December. So.
Oh, it's that immediate then?
That's what I've been told, yes.
Cool. So once that area is kind of built out, are you hearing that there's going to be the ripples? You know, a lot of times, and I'll use Walmart as the reference, Walmart comes to town, and all of a sudden the half-mile or quarter-mile radius around it explodes with development, with new traffic, activities, et cetera, et cetera. So with this complex within about a block and a half of one another of food, are you hearing from other food places? Are you hearing that there's are plans being submitted for adjacent properties in that neighborhood that will be able to take advantage of this increased traffic?
We're hoping. You know, I have been contacted by somebody from out of the area, and they are interested in different developments and some of the vacancies that we have around here. Not necessarily directly in that area, but you know, along the 101 corridor. You know, we also are looking into grant opportunities to purchase motels and refurbish them into housing. We're actually putting together a list of potential either multifamily locations or motels to purchase, renovate, and use for housing.
So kind of do what you're talking about with the new construction with some of the existing structures?
Yes.
Is that good for the community? Or the neighborhood community is what I was thinking.
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, one of them, you know, we were, and I think this is public knowledge, but we were looking at purchasing the Pine Motel. With grant money, we got to the point where we were allowed to get the money to purchase it, but the time frame to redevelop it was too short, and so we weren't able to do that. But, you know, taking a property like the Pine, renovating it, you know, completely, and then, you know, making it available for housing, I think would be a good improvement. And there's other locations where that could happen as well.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Miles, the intersection at Wabash and Broadway, always been tricky. There's historical reasons for it. I think some folks, you know, if they're familiar with Eureka in the past, kind of grasp it a little bit. But it's still got to be one of the most challenging intersections in the region, and then to have the fatal earlier this week. Is there any movement from Caltrans or from the city to address that intersection and to do more? I know some was done, but to do more about it?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know that we got rid of Little Fairfield going out onto there, and that hopefully helped. But, you know, we just had a presentation from Caltrans. You know, that is Caltrans' area of responsibility. We've expressed to them many times about the safety issue. I believe we're number one in the state for population data for pedestrian, and number two for bike and car collisions or something. But it's definitely an area of concern. And we just recently on Tuesday had a long presentation from Caltrans about some of the near-term improvements that can be made along the corridor there. One area that our staff's going to be working on, because we have to work in conjunction with PG&E, is to add some extra lighting on the east side of Broadway between West Hawthorne and Henderson. And then we're looking at putting in two mid-block crossings that will be lighted and have flashing beacons and a pedestrian refuge in the middle there. I think these things, and there'll be little bulb outs that connect to the crosswalks.
In the middle of the highway?
Not in the middle. Well, in the turn lane, there'll be pedestrian refuge. And then on the bike lanes or the parking area, whatever you want to call it, on the shoulders, there'll be bulb outs.
Okay.
In one or two of the locations. But those will be lighted as well, and hopefully that'll slow down. So I think lighting is a big component to that. Wabash doesn't have really any lighting issues. It's just got kind of configuration issues.
Right.
But hopefully doing other improvements along the Broadway corridor will slow down people in general and have them pay more attention.
Now, when you mention road improvements, I think anybody driving any of the streets in town feels like we need either a half track or a full-on tank to be able to drive many of the streets. When all this work is done, is it just going to be a patchwork quilt with all kinds of level changes?
No.
Or is part of this also going to have the overlays?
No, so PG&E obviously has a lot of potholing because of their gas work that they're doing, but our staff worked with PG&E to take some of the funding that they're doing and add it to our STIP funding that we just got. We just got $1.3 million of STIP funding to address multiple roads throughout the city. This funding is going to go towards repaving 14th Street from west all the way down, and then also redo the rest of Hawthorne, West Hawthorne, which is a very bad road, as well as Felt Street. And then we just put out a utilities project on Henderson, and that's going to do the vast majority of Henderson as a complete overlay as well once the utility work is done.
So a lot of the main drags, but not necessarily the neighborhoods that have been chewed up.
So that's where we're looking at Measure H. Those roads that we've had to, typically the way we make the decisions on what's the priority is what the volume of traffic is. So I've driven on 2nd and X multiple times. That's how I used to get to my old office down at the Adorney. Those type of roads with this funding will make it available for us to start concentrating on those roads that are more low volume.
Good deal. Well, congratulations again on being king for the day.
Hopefully it's longer than a day, and thank you, Brian.
All righty, Miles. Have a good weekend. Everybody else, also, see you tomorrow.